We'll take a look at Burroughs' poem in this chapter. Serene. I fold my hands and wait. Nor care for wind or tide or sea. I rave no more against time or fate. For lo, my own shall come to me. Now those are very reassuring and comforting words to hear. And many have heard them. They put us in a momentary sense of peace until the little mind begins to say, well, how long do I wait for mine own to come to me? And is there something I can do in the meantime? Where shall I look for it? Shall I prepare? Shall I make some plans? And before you know it, we are lured into the trap of what may be called the mental universe. Now, we have today something new to do together. And in order to do it successfully, we have to first get down into the jungle of the mind. We have to know why. We have to answer certain questions for the restless mind. You might say we have to go into the lion's den in order to really come face to face with the lion and overcome the belief that there is power there over the Spirit of God. Now, if you were to put your finger on one word that covers every problem in this world, it would surprise you what that word is. And strangely, it was named so that it even pronounces like Adam in Adam and Eve. A-T-O-M. We're going to put the finger on the atom and say there is the cause of every problem. Yes, we can read about grace and mine own will come to me, but we're going to say that mine own will not come to me through the atom. And as long as the atom stands there, as long as I have a belief in the material world, of which the atom is the basic ingredient, mine own is not going to come to me, and grace is going to continue to be a word in a book. We want to look at this atom. We want to see how it has fooled us, how because of the atom, religion has been able to give us a God who cannot stop germs. A God who cannot stop pain. A God who cannot stop war. All because of the atom and the mind which perceives the atom and forms its own impressions and then makes up its kind of God based on what it knows nothing about. We want to see how science, too, can find the cause of every problem in the world and not even know that they have discovered it. We have a universe today which is slightly different than it was 20 or 30 or 40 centuries ago. This universe was unknown at that time. We had a physical universe, and we had it in three levels. We had a mineral universe. We had a vegetable universe, and we had an animal universe. And out of it came a human universe. Always there was a progression on the physical level. And so these four components of the physical world were unaware of the next world, which became known to man as it came over the horizon, and man found himself in a mental universe, a mental world. And today we live in that mental world, comprehending it as a physical world, unaware that behind the mental world is still another one coming over the horizon into consciousness. And so whereas we were given the right to be a king in our kingdom, we remain servants and slaves in a mental world. Now the components of the mental world have been discovered as the atom. And all that an atom comprises itself to be in our world is the material substance that we have mistakenly called our physical forms, the forests, the oceans, and the rivers, and the mountains, the sky, the air we breathe. All that we have called matter is the invisible atom. And so we reach out to grab a handful of this matter. We reach out for a handful of atoms. We think our security lies in matter, and we're reaching out for atoms. Always, whatever we do is based upon that invisible atom. Even our senses, the eye, the ear, the nose, made of the atom. And so you have eyes that are physical, and the substance of them is the atom. And they look out upon a world made of atoms, and all you've got is the interreaction of the atoms of the eyes with the atoms of the world. Atom reacting to atom, and from it comes human experience. And then we have bullets, and they're made of atoms. And we have bombs, and they're made of atoms. And we have germs, and they're made of atoms. And soon you get the idea that God did not create the atom. Science discovers the world is made of atoms. Truth discovers that God did not make the atoms that the world is made of. And Jesus reveals it in my kingdom is not of this world. You find your problem is that you are reaching for atoms. You are trying to preserve a life among atoms. You are building security and safety and everything in life on the basis of an atom that you have never seen. And all of the karma that we call the cause and effect of this world is based upon the interaction of the atoms of your physical form, your physical brain, your physical eyes, your physical senses, with the atoms out there. And as you face this situation, the spirit within informs you that the world which you have said is outside there is not there at all. You have built it by the interreaction of your atomic brain, your atomic mind, your atomic senses to the atoms out there. Atom reacting to atom. But how can an atom react to something if there is no atom? If God did not create an atom, what is your eye made of? And then you face another truth. If the eye is made of atoms, and God did not make the atoms, I do not have a physical eye. If the ear is made of atoms, and God did not make atoms, I do not have a physical ear. I do not have physical senses because God did not make physical senses. God did not make the atoms that are the substance of physical senses. And you go in and out of your body and you find your heart is made of atoms, but God did not make atoms. There isn't a bone or an organ in your body that is not made of atoms, and yet God did not make them. And then you come where Jesus finally stood. I have no material body. And the atoms of my senses which are reacting are an illusion. And what they are reacting to must also be an illusion, because that which is not here, the senses that I do not have, cannot react. The reaction is illusion too. There is no world outside of me. There is no physical universe outside. There is no external world. And finally, there is no physical me. And so I am not on the earth. And we reach that plateau then of consciousness where I physically am not on this earth, and there is no material earth on which I can be. That which says I am is the sense mind, the atom mind, that which reacts to what is not there and which itself is not here to do any reacting. You're in the lion's den of truth. And slowly your atomic universe dissolves. Its only reality is in the atomic mind, in the atomic brain, in the atomic senses that God did not create. There never was a world of atoms. And the whole material world, which we have worshipped, is based upon atoms that are not there. The illusion isn't the matter. That's only a secondary illusion. The illusion of matter is based upon a reaction of non-existent senses to non-existent atoms. And then when you finally can accept that the world of atoms is not the kingdom of God, is not the creation of God, when you can divest yourself of every belief in a physical you with physical senses, in a physical world, then your only problem is how then can I overcome the atom? And the mind will struggle with that for a long time. If it accepts that it wants to overcome the atom, it will strive to do so. And it will set up all kinds of barriers to the success of overcoming the atom. It will say, God, help me. God, bring me this. God, I seek your help to overcome the atom. And the mind will try to build an improved sense of mortality. The mind will try to correct situations. The mind will think, well, I have all this karma behind me that I've got to write off first. Unaware that karma is only in the atom, and that all an atom can control is another atom. All the power of atoms lies in its power over atoms. And finally it dawns upon you, there is only one way to overcome the atom, and that is to know it isn't there. You cannot overcome it if you believe it is there, because that is the trap. Before, you were trying to overcome matter, which is visible. Now you are trying to overcome the atom, which is the basis of matter, which is invisible. And when you know the atom is not there, then all matter based upon the presence of an atom is equally not there. And the overcoming of the atom is the knowledge that there is no atom to overcome. Science, which gave us the atom as the substance of the material world, gave us a substance that is not there. But it is the invisible substance of matter. It proved the non-existence of matter when it gave us a non-existent substance as the substance of matter. All of this to Jesus was nothing. And so I have no material body, was his final conclusion about himself and about every person in the world. To him, there was no person outside, no form outside, no thing outside, and no human condition outside. He lived in an unobstructed universe without atoms. And now you're in that place where, to overcome the belief in the presence of an atom, and the secondary belief in the presence of matter which is based upon the atom, you find that you cannot reach the state of non-resistance as long as you strive to do it mentally. Now think for a moment of the ramifications involved in this. You seek financial security, and that takes the form of money. Money is matter. Matter is based on atoms. Atoms aren't there. What is money? It is a concept. But yet you're seeking that concept. You seek a home. A home is based on matter. Matter is based on atoms. But there are no atoms. What is a home? A concept. You seek health. Health is based on good matter. Matter is based on atoms. Atoms aren't there. Every physical problem is based on some kind of disruption in the relationship that we entertain in mind between the atoms of our body and the external world. We don't mind being made of atoms, as long as they're harmonious. It's only when the discord enters in, when the ratio between one set and another set is discordant, that we're concerned. Then we're willing to look at the ultimate truth. The ultimate illusion, then, is that me which is made of atoms. That is the basis of the dream world. That is the basis of every condition from which we suffer. And as long as you try to overcome that condition with your mind, you find that you fail. And there are many reasons that the mind fails. We know, for one thing, that the mind you are trying to reason with has its own built-in set of logic, which is not divine logic. The mind reasons, this is a bad condition. Certainly God approves of a good condition. And you're wrong. God doesn't approve or disapprove of any human condition, good or bad. The mind is not the mind of God. This is the mind that identifies evil. The mind of God does not identify evil. The human mind, which identifies light and dark, good and bad, is in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is a mind separated from reality. It is based on five senses, which are based on invisible atoms, which are based on nothing. All atomic thought is divine, is cosmic thought. And you come right up to the cosmic mind, which is creating the illusion of cosmic atoms, and you find there is no cosmic mind there. And so as long as you try through this individual human mind, you will try to channel, to outline, to seek person, place, thing, improvement, correction, and it won't work. Be still and know. And there's the paradox we come to. If I'm still, how can I know? If I'm not thinking, how can I know anything? What can I use to know with? And I know that's the paradox we all go through. They tell me to be still and they tell me to know the truth. Now, which shall I do? If I know there's no Adam, I'm using my mind. If I know that everything is illusion, I'm using my mind to know it. So I'm always in this paradox of trying to know the truth that makes me free and also trying to be still in the mind that is supposed to know the truth. That's why today's class is so important. There's only one way to get out of the dream of the Adam world. Be still, yes, in the mind, and know in the soul. And the secret of grace is when you touch the soul realm in the stillness of the mind. Then you are not in the Adam universe. Until then, the mind, which itself is an atomic creation, is trapping you into perpetuating the very conditions you're so eagerly striving to lose. Be still in the mind until you open the bud of the soul. Until that soul says, now, you have been still sufficiently to touch the fourth dimension. Now I, in the midst of you, will reveal all that you were seeking in what you thought was an external world of atoms. There is no external world of atoms, and everything you sought in that external exists in the midst of you. The kingdom of God is not external. It is within your soul, not in your mind. And every religion in the world that has God in their mind finds that it has a God with no power, a God who cannot heal a flea, a God who has no concern about his so-called children, even though they worship him. A God who will not stop an assassination. A God who will let mothers die in childbirth. A God who is completely indifferent to this world. Why? Because it's not a God at all. It's a mental image. And the world is worshiping that mental image called God. You cannot know God. You cannot know spirit, you cannot know reality, you cannot know truth with your mind. You can only know the mental universe, the world in which the invisible atom has fooled the religions and the scientists of the world. And everyone is running around trying to improve the world. And there is no world to improve. It is all based on invisible atoms that aren't there. And as long as you're trying to find your security in the world, in your mortal selfhood, you are in the illusion that you are going to improve something. And even the improvement is illusion. Always we are chasing shadows. But when you touch that realm which the mind cannot touch, which is the realm of the soul, which is the fourth dimensional universe, then you touch the infinite essence, which is the substance of all that you have been seeking. Then the infinite essence, touched through your soul, pours through, flowing as the grace that forms itself. And the law of self-fulfillment is brought into your experience. There is no karma. There is no being a servant to the cosmic mind. There is no chasing shadows. There is only being a beholder of the reality. I have come to glorify the Father, he said. all thou hast given me, I have kept in thy name. We are never a witness to the invisible glory of God with our human minds. All of the hosannas we sing, all of the words we speak, and all of the hopes within us are false human logic, fooled by this invisible little fellow that has been fingered by science and unknown to religion. The atom, which makes the atom man, the atom world, the atom condition, the atom lack, and the atom limitation. From that little atom comes the heart attack. From that little atom comes the belief in cancer. From that little atom comes every disease in this world, all of them based on a change in a condition called matter, and none of it is there. But to the mind, it's there. We are brought now into the realm of grace, the soul, the fourth dimensional essence, which is not touched by the natural man who receiveth not the essence, the things of God. Our grace never flows because we deserve it. You can fast or sacrifice or do good things. That isn't what brings grace to you at all. The only thing that brings grace to you is like the overcoming of the false belief in the presence of the atom or matter. You overcome the false belief that the grace you seek isn't here. It always is here. You never go out to attain it or acquire it. You learn to be still in the mind, alive in the soul, so that grace may reveal itself. You don't pray for it any more than you pray for sunlight. You don't seek it any more than you seek sunlight. You rest in the knowledge that here grace is. Now, what we want to do today is establish a very firm foothold in reality. We want to recognize when we are in the mental universe and when we are in the soul universe, so that we are not deceived into perpetuating the illusion while we think we're coming out of it. We want to know when we're seeking what isn't there. We want to know when we're doing the divine, or when we're doing the human. You will discover that when you're in the mental universe, you're always in a state of time. Somehow you're drawn out into hoping tomorrow will be better. When you're in the mental universe, you're always in a place. You're in a chair, you're in a trolley, you're in a car, you're in a theater, you're at a lecture. That's still the mental universe. Always in the mental universe, you go from here to there, and you return from there to here. You go up or you go down, or you travel at a certain rate of speed. None of this exists in the universe of grace. And to say mine own will come to me is beautiful, but it will only come into your experience when you have moved aside all of the mental barriers which prohibit grace from becoming active experience. If the shades are down, the sun which is ever there cannot come through. If the shades are up, the sun shines in. If the shades of your mind are pulled down, grace can be present, but it will do you no good. Now, there are certain qualities, then, that are necessary to make a radical change, so that you are not just improving your mental concepts to improve your mortality, but walking consciously in the soul universe, living in God, moving in God, having your being in God through soul realization, not mental realization. Ultimately, we want to come to a place where we're doing something we never dreamed we would do. The first is to establish that level of consciousness which you recognize as a soul level, something that you can put into activity, into action, and hold regardless of what appearances try to draw you away. Now let's get these four or five or six key ideas down. The word here, the word is, the word now, the word one, the word perfection, the word love. Now these are all part of your soul consciousness. In mind you have here and there. In mind you have was, is, and will be. In mind you have yesterday, today, and tomorrow. In mind you have many, you have multiples. But we are going to see that in soul everything is here, everything is now, everything is one, everything is perfect, and everything is love. Now when you're not in those understandings, you're in the mind, and you're not in the soul. That's how you will recognize that you have slipped into a mental universe. And the moment you do that, you can be sure that your continuity of grace has been interrupted. The moment you slip into the mind, you are literally turning away from all that you're seeking. God is here. This never changes. And to the God of here-ness, this earth is not broken up into little places. This earth is here to God. And therefore, this earth which is here to God is also here to the Son of God. And by here, I mean not there, but here. The word there drops out of your vocabulary in the soul. Every there ceases to exist, because to God everything is here. And I and the Father are one. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, here and now. The significance of this will become apparent in a moment. You have identified yourself as infinite being. You have said, I am the infinite invisible. I am the divine child. I am that I am. Fine. Now you're going to be held to being what you said you are. God never said, there's a rock here and there's a rock there, because everything is within God, and therefore everything within God is here to God, and therefore everything that is within the infinite invisible is here to that which I am. The moment you have a there, not a here, you are denying identity. So it was very important on these little identification charts we've been making up, not to put down words, but to put down your proven consciousness, something you can live by. When you say, I am the infinite invisible, I am the infinite Christ. That means to you everything is here. You can be sure if everything wasn't here to Jesus Christ, there would have been no miracles. Here I am, said the voice when Moses wondered why the bush was not consumed though it burned. Here I am. Whenever there's a laying on of hands in the Bible, in the physical appearance, it is because the one who is laying on hands is recognizing the invisible identity of another. And the invisible spiritual hands that are being laid upon the other is the recognition of, here I am. I, which is in the midst of thee, I is in the midst of him and her. I am here. I am here. I am here. I am in a thousand places. Here I am. The I in the midst of you is in the midst of everyone else. Here I am. One day you will hear that when you look out at another. Here I am. And this is the secret of the ages when it's understood. For that here I am in another and the here I am in you are one and the same. You have thought of yourself as looking out of these two eyes and living in this form while trying to become aware that you are the infinite Christ. And that step must be taken now in consciousness. Here I am. Do you see that bird on the tree? When it says to you, here I am, that is yourself where that bird appears. And when it says, here I am, when you know that I, in the midst of you, is I in the midst of the bird, you will come to another secret. That I, in the midst of everyone on this earth, is you. And that is the infinite Christ. And that is how you will know you're in the soul realm. To declare it in your mind is nothing. For it to declare itself in your soul is everything. As we sit here now, I, in the midst of you, am the I in the midst of every individual on earth. It is important to reach a plateau which may never have occurred to most of us, to listen so intently within that I, in the midst of the bird, that I, in the midst of the ocean, I, in the midst of the sky, I, in the midst of everything on this earth, declare that I am in the midst of you. And where I am one with the I in the midst of you, because I am you. And therefore, I in the midst of the bird am here to you. When I am in the midst of the bird, I am no longer there to you, I am here. For the here-ness of the I in the midst of the bird is the here-ness of your own being. When you catch this, you have your consciousness out of the trap of being in a body. The voice actually declares from the bird, I am here. And that here means here to the person who hears it, even though there is distance between them. It shows you there is no distance. I am here, and that may come to you from another century. And that here is also now. When I declares its here-ness and its now-ness to you, it is telling you about yourself. It is removing the mask of matter, the mask of atoms, the mask of time and place. It's important to practice the knowledge that I am 100 feet away, 200 feet away, 500 feet away. And that 500 feet away is here. That 1,000 feet away is here. Every place in this world is here because it is I. It is I who is in the midst of you. And you're catching the true mysticism when you know that I, on every planet, am here. I, in every century, am here. And that I is the only I you will ever be. That is why you can say, I am not a person on this earth. I am I in the midst of all that appears on this earth. I am not this fragment in the form. I am the infinite I everywhere. And everywhere is here, because everything in the universe is here to I. There is no place in the universe that ceases to be anything else except here to you. Alaska is here. New Zealand is here. Home is here. Wherever you are, the universe is here. And this is the turning. As you dwell with this, as it registers, you find you're not in mind. And that's how you know it's registering. Because it begins to give you a sense of expansion, of immediacy. You begin to see why everything was here to Jesus. There was no there in his vocabulary or his consciousness. There did not exist. I is everywhere, and everywhere, therefore, is here in I. There was never a second's lapse of time. I is always now. And before there was a second of time to lapse, stretch forth thine hand, thine arm. Always there was a now, and only now. There wasn't an instant hesitation. Now is the perfection of I. Now is the perfection of love. Now is the power of the divine. And what comes forth? I do, for I realized is grace. I is the essence now. I know thy needs. I perform. I perfect. I am the bread. I am the way. I am the bread out of the sky because I am here. I am the divine manna. I am the life. I am the way. I am the resurrection. Always it is I, and it is always I here and now, perfect. It is the consciousness of I here, not just here, but I have the here-ness of everywhere, which brings forth grace. If you think I is here, only here, no. Here is infinite. I is infinitely here. And the distinction is the difference between the manna that flows and the manna you hope for that never seems to arrive. As you sit in a room, consciously aware that there is nothing in the universe but I, that I is the infinite Spirit of God, and that is your name, and that I comprises within itself all of the Father, that the I within you and the I within everyone you know is the same I, all indivisible, one self-same I. Then you know that the I within everyone you know is the only being on the earth. That I is who you are, not this me. That I is one with the Father. When that I is your identity, then this universe is here to you, and this universe is now to you. And everything is ising now here to you. Then you're in your soul. Now this is going to become standard consciousness. Here, universal here, is here. Eternal time is here now. There are no more tomorrows. There's nothing's going to happen tomorrow that isn't now here in spirit. You have your infinite nowness, your infinite here-ness, your infinite isness, and that becomes the permanent consciousness of your soul. Whatever would draw you out of it, you meet now, instantly, with a recognition that I don't have to wait till tomorrow. It's what I know now in my soul that is going to be the human tomorrow. It's what I know here in my soul as the isness of God, not the future of God. Here is now God, perfect. And there is no other power. As long as this remains your consciousness, you are not separated back into mind, which again separates you from reality. The conscious awareness of God is here now. And the meaning of those words, here is now, includes the infinite eternal. There is no action on the face of the earth that to you is not here. Because your invisible spirit is where the action seems to be, and your invisible spirit, which is where the action seems to be, is here, as well as to a human there. One spirit. And that brings everything here where you are. And when everything is here where you are, because your spirit is everywhere, it must flow. It flows only through that consciousness. We may not do it today, but we will have to look at every one of the healings of Jesus and see that never once did he move outside of God is here now. And that here didn't mean where he stood. It meant where the fellow was 300 feet away or 300 miles away. That was here to the eye of spirit. And that's why he said, now is your son well. Now sit down and eat. There's no other time. The perfection of God is always now here. The moment you have found some way to accept this, you'll find yourself relaxing. That's how you'll know you're moving out of the mind universe. The moment you feel that, oh, I can relax then you'll know your soul is coming forth. As man has progressed through the various universes into this mental one, still unaware of a soul universe that is now coming over the horizon, he's striving to improve his situation when all he needs to do is stand still. And the soul will reveal that there never was a world of good and evil, that all lack is in an atom that isn't there, All imitation is in an atom that never existed. All hunger, all poverty, all war, all of this are atom images made into visible images through the reaction of sense mind to the invisible, non-existent atom. And as we stand still, all of this action and reaction ceases to be. The soul coming through the horizon of the new consciousness reveals the fourth dimensional realm, swallows up the third, and into your life pours essence to fill the forms, light to remove the darkness, truth to remove division and duality. The here-ness of you becomes manifest. The love of the Father becomes the light of the world. This new consciousness of soul, resting in here, is now the fullness of God, everywhere is brought right into here. And you are truly a king in your kingdom instead of a servant to the cosmic mind. Instead of a mortal trying to find solutions to problems that only exist in a mental universe. Then mine own comes to me because mine own is realized as being here now. Here is love. Here is friendship. Here is companionship, not in atoms. The moment you insert your mind to find out how to build a friendship in the atoms, a friendship in or companionship in atoms, or security in atoms, you are trying to channel the infinite. And it would be marvelous if it worked, but it doesn't. And if it worked, we would only shortchange ourselves. It doesn't work, and we have to ultimately come to the higher ground of soul. Now, you may still think that you're going to enter soul with your mind, and you cannot. The crucifixion is there. The resurrection of soul, bringing forth the infinite universe of truth, depends completely upon the crucifixion of the mind which has falsely conceived a world of atoms. Grace becomes the permanent dispensation of reality made visible. The substructure of atoms is removed in our mentality. And with it goes the mentality that gave it birth. Then the peace comes. The peace which says, my peace is evidence that I am come into your consciousness. My peace is evidence that you have died to the mental realm. My peace is evidence that you have found the meaning of spiritual righteousness. Your righteousness now exceeds all of the scribes and the Pharisees. It is the righteousness of total mental surrender. Everything you seek, you put in one great big bag and throw it away. Your soul is seeking nothing. And if you are still seeking, you haven't found your soul. If you are still seeking, you have not trusted identity. I contain the seed of all that exists. I am the tree of life, and I grow my own fruit. The external world gives you false fruit. The kingdom of God within you is God is here now, and its fruit is the fruit of the vine. The locusts cannot eat its fruit, and all the lost years of the locusts are broken when you grow the fruit from the vine of the kingdom within. So Jesus could say, I have glorified thee. We are learning how to say, I am learning how to glorify thee. I am learning how to be a witness, not in a human mind, not a false witness, as you stand in the truth that God is here now, and that around the corner is here to you. The accident around the corner means that God is here now, and therefore there is no accident around the corner except in the mental world of atoms. When there are two or more who are not in the mental world of atoms, the accident disappears. When there is one who is not in the mental world of atoms, the manna falls from heaven. When there is one who is in the here-ness and now-ness and the is-ness of perfect love, in spite of every appearance to the contrary, you have the fourth dimension of heaven on earth. And so ultimately we can say, when I am in the isness, the here-ness, and now-ness of God, earth for me is the earth spoken of when we are told that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth of man is the earth of atoms. The earth of God is the invisible spirit which to man appears as a world of atoms. That earth, which is the world of atoms, is not God's. Its fullness is deception. But the earth that is the Lord's is heaven. And man, looking at heaven, recreates it into his own mental image and calls it earth. Earth divine is heaven. And that earth is the earth that is the fullness of God, and that earth is the earth you live in the here-ness, now-ness, and is-ness of God. Then you experience the earth as the Lord's, and the power of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord, and the kingdom is come into experience, into living experience. We are then walking in a new universe, the universe of reality, living in it in the soul. And we are not in a corporeal form. We are in a new form. We are in the soul body. We are not in a form made of atoms that perish. Now, you cannot cling to the old and have the new. You cannot be around the corner and call that here and still be in a physical form. To be infinite, you must be out of a physical form. To be infinite, you must be spiritual form. To live in the soul universe, you must be soul form. Be perfect as your Father. In that form, in that soul, which lives in the perfect universe of grace. In these human years ahead, there are those who will be still struggling to step out of the problems of the body. Their struggle is as much an illusion as the problems. Whoever will accept the word of the Father that I am here as an infinite truth will find that neither the problem nor the struggle is necessary. In your soul consciousness, you will be making your transition out of a world that God did not create. You will find there is no need to seek any improvement. In fact, it is a disaster to seek an improvement in your human life. It is a perfect way to turn away from the very thing that God is saying, take it. Here is my kingdom. It is my good pleasure to give you my grace. But the natural man receiveth not. Only that consciousness which is open to its own soul.